What God is going to talk about this morning in today's message was when you say yes to God, you bring in all the rest. You bring in all your family. That's what it's all about. When you say yes, it's about reaping the harvest in your family and making a difference in your community. Amen. Well, real quickly, you know, I just want to say, just say hi, everybody. You know, my name is Pastor Henry Quintana. If you guys don't know who I am, you know, my family and I have been here at CWC Life for the past 8 years. Actually, we celebrated, Bishop, our 8th year here at CWC on August 21st. I remember when I came hobbling in with a torn knee on a Wednesday service and I met Bishop, and literally my life was forever changed. Amen? God is good, isn't he? You know, God is so amazing. So amazing. Give me 1 second. I got a little technical glitch right here. Well, you know, today I'm super excited because I get to share and continue the series that Bishop has started called I See You, that God sees you. As PK mentioned earlier, my little sister, Pastor Michelle Ayala, literally blew the roof off of our church as she continued that message about God sees you. Well, today I'm very excited that I get to continue that series called I See You out of the book of Esther. Out of the book of Esther, such a powerful, powerful story. But before I get into that, I want to send a quick little shout out to my big brother, David Bonilla. Last night he got his MD degree. He became Minister David Bonilla. And I'm telling you, Brother David, the Shekinah glory of the Lord is shining brightly and reflecting off of your beautiful bald head, boy. It's lighting up this whole place. Amen. You know, and I see my other brother, my uncle, I call him Pastor Manuel Ochoa, who got pastor ordination yesterday. I want to tell you something. You are a man that the devil does not want to mess with in the city of San Jose. You are the right man for the job. I honor you. I love you. And that goes for all the graduating interns from last night and newly ordained ministers and pastors. My hat's off to you. I honor you guys. I love you guys. That's just the beginning. Now the real internship starts. Amen. So go for it. Seize the moment. Amen. Well, the book of Esther is a very powerful, powerful book. I love this book. And it's such a powerful story because it talks about faith and trust and bravery in the midst of persecution, in the midst of pandemic, much like the times that we're facing today. You know, for the last 18 months, we've been dealing with a pandemic, you know, of global proportions. Global proportions. Give me one. And during this time, I remember, see, this pandemic is very personal to me because we were one of the first families to actually get COVID. And I'll never forget when I was at this Kaiser little tent down the block here in Manteca, and the doctor was telling me, Mr. Enrique Quintana, the worst is still ahead of you. We're giving you a bad diagnosis called COVID pneumonia. And I remember during this time, Bishop was at my side, not physically, but literally spiritually, and he was texting me literally, as my wife would say, every 30 minutes or every hour on the hour, encouraged me, son, you got to fight. You got to fight for your life. And I want to tell you something. In this season, the enemy has brought a fight to your doorstep that cannot be ignored. And there's only one choice that you can have. You got to stand up and fight. You got to get up and fight for your family. You got to get up and fight for the church. You got to get up and fight for church essentiality. Come on. Seize the moment. We could have been born at any time, but God chose to see it fit that we were born for now. Tell your neighbor that I am born for now. Tell your neighbor that your destiny is great. I want to tell you something. Your destiny is great even when you don't see it, guys. Even when you can't see it, your destiny is still great. And before we get into the message, I want to encourage you today that you would make the willful choice today at August 29, 2021, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of social and political and civil unrest, in the midst of persecution that your church is facing globally, not just in the church in Afghanistan, but we faced it here in our own country when they told us that we had to shut down our services, that we could not praise, that we could not worship. Come on, guys, the fight has been brought, and God is looking for men and women to stand up and say yes to the fight. So in the book of Esther, I want you to keep in mind two powerful themes of this book, and that's God's sovereignty and God's providence. And I want to share with you quickly what that is, real briefly. You know, what is God's sovereignty? What is God's sovereignty? Basically, God's sovereignty is God is in control. God is the one, he's the creator of all things. He knows all things. He's in charge of all things. God is literally working behind the scenes everything that goes on in your world. Providence is how God literally deals with us on the day-to-day basis. Through your circumstances, through your situations, through your daily routine, God is literally working things out for your good and for his glory if you would just redirect your perspective and focus on him. Amen? So here we see God's sovereign plan. And before we really dive into the word, I just want to give a quick little, brief little backdrop into the story of Esther. Okay, so here's a beautiful, young, Jewish woman, okay? Didn't have parents. She was orphaned. The Bible doesn't say how she lost her parents or how she became orphaned. But all of a sudden, she finds herself in the king's harem. All of a sudden, she goes from literally the guttermost to the uttermost overnight. She goes from being orphaned to now being the queen of Persia. She's raised by her cousin Mordecai, who is a great man of faith, who's actually one of the king's protectors, or he sits at the king's gate. And I'm telling you something, when you get to sit next to the king, you're going to learn a lot of things. God's going to position you for favor and for such a time as this. I'm telling you something. And I learned a lot in this pandemic as I got a lot of experiences with Bishop that I can relate to this story. Because not only did we face this pandemic, and I saw how God saw me by sending Bishop, who was there to care for me, say, son, you got to fight. You got to stand up. And I said, okay, I'll fight. I'll fight. And then as the church was persecuted, I remember we were going out doing rallies, and we'd go out, and we went to Santa Clara County to go fight for our church essentiality. Why? Because the first time in U.S. history, pastors were getting threatened to be incarcerated. Pastor Mike McClure of Calvary Chapel in San Jose had literally got fined over $500,000 for preaching the gospel that brings healing to the city. Remember, the mask can't save you, but it's the word of God that saves and brings salvation. Amen. And I thank God for his fight, because when he says yes to the fight, not only did his actions speak louder than his words, but his now, he began to shift the atmosphere of all of San Jose. Amen? So here we see this orphan who is now positioned in the high palace of the king. Okay, her cousin Mordecai tells her, hey, there's a plot to kill the king. Okay, so he sends a word to Esther saying, hey, you know what? This evil man, this dude who's the right-hand man to the king by the name of Haman, has got a plot to kill the king. So she alerts the king of the news. Guess what? The king is saved. Mordecai, who actually discovered the plot, because remember, he worked the king's gate as the king's protector. He doesn't get noticed. He didn't get acknowledged. Why? Because it was Jew. But I want to encourage you, if you are unnoticed or you are doing things in life, I want to encourage you, God notices. You are significant to God. And it's oftentimes the things that you are doing behind the scenes that nobody notices. Because ain't nobody going to come up to you and say, hey, you know what, brother? Man, you get so much peace on your life. No, because people only celebrate the outward appearance. They only celebrate what they can see externally and not necessarily what's going on in you internally. But see, God sees, God noticed and saw what Mordecai had done, and he noticed, and it was only preparation for what he was going to occupy later on in the story. Okay? So that plot gets thwarted. Haman doesn't want to stop there, just like the devil. The devil who's attacking your life, he is not going to stop there. Trust me, he's always on hot pursuit. He understands that the war has already been won on your behalf because of what Christ has done for you on the cross. But still then, there's a battle that still rages on for your life. There's a battle that still rages on. In order to win that battle, you got to get up and fight. You see, sometimes we get complacent and we think, God, you know, doesn't your word say that you got to fight the battles for me? He says, yeah, I'll fight the battles for you when you meet me on the battlefield. I'm not going to fight your battles while you're sitting on the couch, eating potato chips, eating some Takis, eating an elote. Come on, no. I will meet you and fight your battles in the battlefield. Come on. We do that too often. We do that too often. And it leads me right to the scripture. And if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And you're going to see how God's divine providence and God's divine sovereignty was working his purpose and his plan all behind the scenes, where Esther, this orphan, didn't know her purpose and her destiny. Amen? And it says this. It says, go, her uncle, her cousin, Mordecai says, go, gather all the Jews. Go gather all the Jews. Give me one sec. Bible's glitching. Where's my scripture? Give me one sec. Okay, sorry about that. It says right here, the scripture says this, for if you remain silent, basically if you don't get in the fight, if you don't enlist in the fight that's already been brought to your family, to your doorstep, to your life, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your fathers will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position, Esther, for such a time as this. I want to encourage you to do exactly what it says on the screen, to seize your moment, that you would come to an understanding that you were born for such a time as this. I can only imagine how this orphan, who's now the queen of Persia, must have felt. Oftentimes in life, we put on so many different things. So many different things. Right? We put on all these different clothes. We allow all these clutter and distractions to come into our life, kind of like this jersey right here, Giants. It's clutter. See, if you're wearing this, actually, this is a championship hat, the Dodgers. Amen? Right? This ain't clutter. This is championship. Amen? You know, sometimes as women, I know I can speak for my wife, you know, you want that Gucci purse, you want this, you want that. You're in the pursuit of all these things, right? Or you go about your business at work and you got your laptop case and you're going about your business. You walk out the door, right, and you put the things that matter most. And that's understanding your identity, that you were called for a royal time as this, that you were called as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called and commissioned for such a time as this. I'm telling you, if you don't step up to the fight, somebody else is going to step up to the plate in your place. But when you say yes, God starts to save the rest. We saw it in evidence right there with the Ignacio family. We're seeing it all around us. Amen? By the choice that these people made to say, you know what, I'm done stepping, going into the kiddie pool. I'm done just tiptoeing my life into the presence of God. No, I'm ready to take the next step and make a plunge into the presence of God. I don't want just a sample of what God has for me. I want the entire platter. I want the entire platter. And there's three powerful keys that God has revealed to me in this story of Esther that God really wants the church in modern day society to grab a hold of, especially for such a time as this, so that we can seize the moment and make a difference, not just in our home place, but within our community. And these three powerful keys are your attitude, your actions, and atmosphere. Your attitude, your actions, and atmosphere. You see, when her cousin pastor and gave that charge, just like Bishop gave me that charge. Son, you got to fight. I remember when I was in that COVID tent and I sat around about 20 other people who had this look of defeat. I had never in my life felt anything more morbid and more depressing in my entire 45 years of existence. And I sat there on that chair and I saw all these people making phone calls. Man, you know what? They're literally crying and saying their last goodbyes to their family. And I'm sitting there and I said, God, Lord God, you got to get me out of this place because it's so depressing. And then I looked down at my phone and I saw Bishop's words, son, you got to fight. And all of a sudden, I felt the fire of the Holy Spirit begin to billow up inside of me. And I said, God, maybe, maybe, just maybe, you've allowed this light affliction called COVID-19 to affect my body because I've been called for such a time as this. So, Lord, I will not be in fear, but I will rise up in faith like Esther. And I will seize my moment. And I got up out of my chair and I began to share the gospel with people in that tent. And I began to lay hands on Mr. Caramillo and all these other different people. And when the doctor came up to me and said, Mr. Quintana, you got COVID pneumonia. Guess what? You're only day 7. The worst is still ahead, are still ahead of you. And I said, get behind me, Satan. The worst is already behind me, for I am healed. God's word that says that by his stripes I am already made healed and whole. And I have received my healing. And not only am I going to walk out of this place, but I'm going to take as many with me. In Jesus' name. And that's exactly what I did that night. Exactly what I did that night when the doctor said, you're going to stay and you're going to have to be intubated. I said, negative. I'm walking out. And I took 5 others along with me. That's the God that we serve. You see, that's the same thing that happened to Esther. Here's this orphan who's been given a charge to fight for people that may not even care about her, who do not even understand the sacrifice that she's going to have to make. Because remember, back in those days, it wasn't like an open door policy. I could walk up to Bishop's office, walk in the green room, which I consider like holy. It's a privilege to me that I could even walk into his green room, that I could walk into his office. It's an honor for me. But I can only imagine what Esther must have felt like, knowing that if I don't come correct, and if I'm not prayed up, and my attitude and my perspective is not shifted off of my fear, and off of my lack, and off of my upbringing, and I'm not completely sold out on this mission, there's a good chance I could get off of my head like Alice in Wonderland. But the thing is, she accepted her fate. She came correct. So that's what I want to tell you guys. Your attitude determines your destiny. Your attitude determines your destiny. You see, when Esther was there, and I can only imagine the fear that was gripping her, all of a sudden she had to say, you know what, that's, I understand where I came from. I know I didn't have no mom and dad. I know that this task that my cousin is charging me with, it seems like an insurmountable task. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm not prepared. I didn't go to Bible school for it. But what I do know is that I'm a son. What I do know is that I'm a daughter of the Most High God. And because I got God fighting this battle with me, beside me, behind me, fighting this battle for me, whom shall I fear? So she shifted her attitude from what she was facing onto what God was doing. You see, when doubt comes in, you got to counteract that doubt and that fear by knowing your identity. You see, when Esther came, she didn't come with the clutter. She wasn't wearing the Giants. Come on, it ain't no championship. It didn't come with the LA Dodgers. Come on. We're 2.5 games behind. What she did was she came correct. She says, all I need is this. This is my identity. Mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, this is your identity. You were created for royalty. You are royalty. Too often we come to prayer with all of our wants and wishes, and treating God like he's a genie in the bottle, and if I just rub him the right way, say the right words somehow, he's going to answer every prayer. But God is saying, no, you got to come to me. I'm a holy God. I'm holy. And I've called you to live holy. I've called you to live separated, consecrated for such a time as this. And it's going to require for you to change your attitude from fear of failure, fear of success, to now stepping out and moving in faith because of your identity. So that's what she did. She put on her robe of righteousness. She put on her garment of praise. And as soon as she understood her identity, she said, Lord, I am a daughter of the Most High God. I'm not going to fear Xerxes. I'm not going to fear the arrows by dark. I'm not going to fear what people think about me. I'm no longer trapped because I was an orphan. I didn't have a mom and a dad, and I had this horrible upbringing. Whether you were abused as a kid, whether your husband walked out on you, let it go. Let it go. God says that does not define you. It's what Christ did for you on the cross over 2,000 years ago is what defines you and gives you purpose and identity. Amen? You see, God didn't design our attitude to be based off our emotions and feelings, but he based it off Christ. Why? Because Christ is constant. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's unchanging. He's everlasting. He's unfailing. He's constant in our storms and in our trials. And God has placed before us this opportunity that is beaming with divine significance for you to seize the moment, for you to seize the day, if you would just change what's raging in between your ears. Amen? Because when you shift your attitude, the next thing that happens is your actions. Your actions change. You see, actions is means to walk in God's purpose. You see, the moment that Esther shifted her attitude, she gave a charge, just like her cousin gave a charge to her. She told all these people, she told all of them, she says, hey, I want you guys to do this. It says in Esther chapter 5, verse 1 through 2, it says, now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes. She put on her identity, stood in the inner courts of the king's palace, across from the king's house. And while the king sat on his royal throne, in his royal house, facing the entrance of his house, it says, so it was that the king saw her. I want to tell you something. God sees you. God sees you, even when no one else sees you. Even when you're serving at church, whether you're scrubbing the toilets or whether you're vacuuming the church, when nobody's around, God sees your service. And it's how your actions and what you do behind the scenes when nobody's looking is what really matters to God. It's not your money. It's not your career ambition. It's not all this clutter. God's not impressed with how many batting stats you know, pitching stats you know. He doesn't care about your Gucci purse, how many World Series rings we got. And I know the Giants got more than us. He doesn't care about those things. Because he understands those things are physical. They have absolutely no eternal value. No eternal value. But when you begin to align your purpose with God's purpose, you can now begin to walk in God's power and with his authority according to God's grace, God's providence, and God's sovereignty. And you will begin to look back in retrospect at your life and say, wow, now I understand why I had to go through that. Now I understand why I had to grow up in a cold, freezing city called Fredonia, New York, all because one day there was going to be a pastor that would go out there, a church called CWC Life, who would introduce you to my fine wife. Pastor's fine wife, who I am prophesying now will be a pastor alongside her amazing husband one day. You will be an amazing pastor with your husband someday. You see, your actions, the moment that Esther aligned her attitude, all of a sudden her actions changed. She was no longer fearful. And one thing that I did notice in her story was that she never took her robe off. She never took her robe off. She never took her crown off. Now all of a sudden, this orphan who was insecure and fearful is now walking bold like a lioness. Woo, she's walking bold. And she gives a charge to all of her maids and all of her servants, says, hey, this is what we're going to do. All right? Stop what you're doing. All right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to fast and we're going to pray. We're going to seek God for direction, because before I go see the king, we're going to come correct. We're going to come correct because I'm going to ask him. But when I go over there, Lord, I'm expecting favor. But no matter what, whether I die in the process, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. There's something powerful when our attitude is no longer self-focused, but God-centered. All of a sudden, this peace comes over your life where you accept your fate that no matter hell nor high water, no matter whether I was going to die in that COVID tent or not, everything's all right with my soul. Everything's all right with my soul. And the enemy wants to tell us to create fear because he does not want you to step out in faith so that you would not walk according to God's purpose and fulfill his divine plan. You see, when you step out, when you answer your yes, when you say yes to God and you step out and you begin to now align your actions with your positive attitude that is God-centered, everything becomes possible. Now all of a sudden she sees this dude, Haman, right, who was plotting to kill her husband, the king, right, who was dissing her uncle, right? And now Haman puts this edict out and he tells everybody, hey, you know, we're going to make sure that the king sends out this edict, that if you don't bow to the king, right, if you don't bow to our political structure here in California, we're going to shut you down, right? You're going to be mandated mask wearing, all this stuff. We're going to violate your rights every which way. Come on now. Negative. Negative. You're robbing me of my rights. I know who I am. I know my First Amendment rights, but more importantly, I know who I am. I'm a son of the Almighty God. You ain't going to tell me that I cannot praise. You're not going to tell me that I cannot pray. And all you're going to do is make my worship grow a little louder. You're going to make my fight get a whole lot stronger. You're going to make that fire burn a whole lot brighter. Why? Because my attitude is no longer centered on me. It's now focused on actions to save the world. Amen? Save the world, to seize the moment. Seize the moment. That's what she does. You see, because when you start to walk in your divine purpose, and you start to let your actions line up with your words, all of a sudden you start to see God's sovereign plan, God's sovereign providence, his daily providence that's always been working in your life. Now you can see that it was all meant not just to save you, to save all the Ignacios. It's to save all those people who are willing to take the next step. You realize now, all of a sudden, Esther realizes that, you know what? If I did not say yes, if I had just said no, these people didn't know. They don't even care about me. They didn't care if I would die. But all of a sudden, all that perspective changed, and she said yes to the Lord. And her action says, Lord, I'm going to step out anyways. I'm going to meet with my king, my husband. I'm going to let him know what's going on. Haman, you're not going to rule this. Satan will not have the last laugh in this place. Satan will not have control over your life, over your marriage, over your family any longer. I know my identity. I know my identity. Why? Because that attitude determines your destiny. And when your attitude shifts, you begin to walk according to God's purpose and not your own. And when you begin to walk according to God's purpose, now the atmosphere changes. No longer is she afraid, but she understands that my purpose and my mission for such a time as this isn't about me being comfortable. It's about me stepping out in faith to bring salvation to the Jews. And that's what I want to tell you today. That when you say yes, when one person says yes to God, it brings salvation to the masses. Your singular yes can make the difference in many people's lives. Think about it, guys. Over 30 years ago, this man said yes. And out of that birth, this ministry, CWC Life. Life. All because he said yes. He changed his attitude, walked according to God's purpose so that he could shift the whole atmosphere. Shift and make a shift the whole atmosphere. Not just of our church, but this region. That's what it's all about, guys. That's what it's all about. It's about shifting the atmosphere. It's about changing the atmosphere. It's about being the difference that you want to see in your world. You can't make excuses. Esther didn't make the excuse for the task that God had told her to do. She answered the call. See, I don't know what you're going through today, guys. Moms, I don't know what you're going through. I know it's a difficult season. I'm going to have the worship team come up. I know we're in a difficult pandemic. I know there's a lot of things going on. I know there's a whole lot of political stuff that's going on that, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to go off on President Biden. Just pray for him. If you voted for him, well, God help your soul. I'm kidding. No, I'm serious. No. There's a lot of things that are going on in our country. There's a lot of things happening in Afghanistan. The church is being persecuted. But God is not calling us to sit back, wimpy, powerless. God is saying, I want you to shift your perspective and focus on me. Focus on me. I don't want you to be overwhelmed by the clutter of this world, worrying about things that don't matter, things that the dust will rot and fade away. But I want you to focus on your internal inheritance. I want you to make sure that you know your identity today. There's only one way that we could ever come to know our identity, and it's because of what Christ did for us on the cross. You see, when Esther answered her call, began to shift her attitude, walk according to God's purpose, to shift the atmosphere and save the Jews from utter extermination. All of a sudden, in the theater of my mind, I can look back and I see this woman standing in the palace. And she's saying, God, now I understand why I had to go through all the things I had to go through. Now I understand and I have a better appreciation for my life and the value of life and for the call that you have commissioned me to fulfill. To go out and make disciples. To go out and fight the good fight for my wife, for my 7 children, for our community, for our city, for those who are hurting, lost, and broken. I understand why I had to be an orphan. I understand now why I had to be chosen to be one of the king's harem when I felt so ashamed, violated. I didn't want to just be another number. I wanted to be my husband's all. But Lord, I understand that your plan was bigger than me. Your purpose is bigger than just me. It's about we. That's what the atmosphere is about. It's about you. It's not about me. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about whether or not I was going to be healed from COVID. It was about those other ones who didn't know Jesus, but came to know Jesus. All because I made a decision. I got to fight for my life. I got to fight in this season. I can't give up. I can't quit. There's lives at stake. There's a harvest that's ready. There's God's waiting for laborers to stand up. Bishops calling his soldiers, all of the pastors and ministers who are newly ordained, all you new graduating interns to answer the call and say, I know it may be hard. I don't got it all figured out, Lord, but I trust in you. I trust in you and in you alone. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be noticed. Because I understand now, God, it's oftentimes the things that go unnoticed that everybody most of the time will never see is what matters most to you. Peace, love, joy, grace. You can't put a price tag on it. Nor can you see it. something that you can only experience. You see, Esther thought that her story began there. She thought that her story began when her cousin sent out that charge to fight. Moms, dad, your story doesn't begin there. Your story began in your life long time ago. Long before you were ever knitted in your mother's womb. Long before Esther was ever knitted in her mother's womb, she was already called and commissioned for such a time as this. And honestly, so were you. So were you, sister, with your ponytail. You were called and commissioned for such a time as this. My little brother right here, the Puentes son, you were called and commissioned for such a time as this. To wear your royal crown. To put on that garment of praise and your robe of righteousness. To walk in the authority and the power of the Almighty God. To not just see miracles, signs, and wonders follow you, but to change the atmosphere more importantly. Our story doesn't just start here. God's plan doesn't just start here. He always had a plan for you, my brother, wearing that Jordan shirt. He has a plan and a purpose over your life. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And as he was knitting you in your mother's womb, he already paved the way for that plan, for your attitude to be shifted so that you can start walking according to God's purpose and not your own anymore. So that you can start shifting the atmosphere of your wife, of your children, and your future generations. All because of what Christ paved the way for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. We are the seed of royalty. You are a seed of royalty. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. And don't ever let the devil tell you anything different. I don't know what you guys are going through. I don't know what your week has been like. But I want to encourage you, don't leave this place without seizing your moment. Don't leave this place without fully understanding that you were born for a time such as this. Don't walk out of these doors still sick, broke, and hurting. God wants to heal you today. And I want to invite you to come to know the one who's paved the way. We can't do this on our own, y'all. I couldn't save me. God saved me. You can't save you. God saves us. So if you want to come to know this Savior that Esther had an encounter with, if you want to come and know personally this Savior who resurrected my life when I was losing it in that COVID tent, all you got to do is simply raise your hand and say, Pastor Henry, I need you to pray for me. I want to make that choice today to make Jesus Christ Lord, Savior, ruler over my life. I see how his sovereignty, his plan and his purpose has always been around me. I see now his providence has been guiding my life daily, day after day. And I understand all the circumstances and the situations and my failures and my mistakes are not to tear me down, it's to build me up. If you want to answer that call today, just simply raise your hand. Woo! I see those hands. Woo! Come on. I want to encourage you guys, if we'd all just stand to our feet. Today is the greatest day of your life. Today is the greatest day of your life. For those of you who raised your hands, I'm going to ask you to do something, to take the bold step like Esther, to take that faithful step and placing one foot in front of the other and just meet me here at the altar. Come on, there ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Come on, woo! Come on up, Pop. God is good. Attitudes are being changed so that walks can change. Where we used to once walk in the world, you guys are making the faithful step to say, I'm no longer walking according to my way, but Yahweh. Yahweh, your way. I want you to do something. Just lift your hands to heaven. Everybody in this church, lift up holy hands. And I want you to join your brothers and sisters in prayer as we make this profound, prophetic, and powerful declaration. Say, Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I have tried it my way. And it's left me on this relentless path in circles. I am done doing it my way. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Lord, I need you. Come into my life today. I believe that you died on the cross for me. That you nailed my sin and shame to the cross. And when you died and rose on the third day, I rose from the grave with you as a new creation, as a new son, as a new daughter in Jesus Christ. So Lord, come into my life. Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing. My life is yours today, forevermore. Change me, mold me, shape me, change my attitude, change the way that I walk, so that I can change this world one soul at a time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Woo! Come on, let's give these people a round of applause. Woo! Let's give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. Jesus! Hallelujah! We love you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. God bless you, those who came to the altars. God bless you. Someone should be next to you here. We have some, I'm not sure where our altar workers are. Where's our prayer team? Praise God. Congratulations to you for those who accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're so happy for you, proud of you. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. We're so glad that you're here. Amen. Praise God. And to the rest of the body, let me encourage you also, just take that message to heart. That was a powerful word. Amen. The enemy is trying to intimidate. A lot of weird things happening these days, but God is still in control. God is still in control. We're not going to relent. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep fighting. Amen? We're going to keep fighting. That's what we're going to do. Praise God. A couple of things I want to say before I dismiss you. Just stay with me just really quick. Next Sunday, as Pastor Kerry mentioned, is our church picnic. We moved it here because we hear that there could possibly be some state regulations coming out, and that's a county park that we're going to. So we'll be here. Come early. Come set up your area where you're going to sit. Bring your tent if you want, or your camping chairs, your barbecue. Bring your lunch. Come on out. There'll be games all day. There's going to be cornhole. There'll be volleyball. We're going to have our Olympics. It's going to be a great day. But come get set up before church, not during church. Church starts at 10 a.m. right here. So come get set up before the picnic, before church, And then after church, you can fire up your own barbecue. How's that? And or bring it pre-made, however you want to do it. You can bring it pre-made. Now listen, as far as some things I wanted to mention also in regards to the virus, you've heard me say what our position on the virus vaccine is. You can bring the music down a little bit, guys, please. We don't have a position. We don't have a position on the vaccine. If you want the vaccine, get it. If you don't want it, don't get it. You're not going to be pressured either way or shamed either way in this church. But we deadly are against, I shouldn't use that word, we are emphatically against mandatory vaccines. We're against mandatory anything by the state or the government. We should make our own choices as Americans, and that's what we feel here. So in the back of the church, we do have religious exemption forms in the back. There's a number of them. Take them all. Educate yourself. But if you need a personal letter from me, call the office. Speak to anybody who has Pastor Kerry or myself, whoever, and ask to say, I need a personal letter. And we will write a personal letter qualifying your exemption for the mandatory vaccine. So, again, I want to make it clear, we're not against the vaccine in this church, the vaccine. We're not for it either. But we are absolutely against mandatory vaccines, especially county, state, jobs, employers who are mandating that. We don't feel that is right, and we're going to stand with anybody who chooses to fight that. Amen. Praise God. I want to say hello to all those who aren't with us today because they've been sick. Pastor Alex, we just got great news today that his oxygen level is getting better, so they're taking him off less oxygen. We miss you, Pastor Alex, Pastor Mona. We miss you guys. We miss the Duarte family. We miss just everyone who's not feeling well, who's not here today. And we thank all of you for being here and for your continued faithfulness. Keep Pastor Angel Machaca. His church has been hit hard with it, but we're going to keep praying them through. Listen, folks, here's one thing I think we can all agree on. Last year at this time, hundreds of thousands of people had already died from this virus. This year, not so much. What's happening is we're getting educated and our immune systems are getting better, apparently, but they're telling us that this virus is going to be here the rest of our lives. Well, then we'll beat it like we did the common cold. We'll beat it like we did the flu. Whatever we got to do, we're going to beat it in the name of Jesus. Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're going to beat it. So be encouraged. What a great timely message from Pastor Henry and from Pastor Michelle this morning. I'm so proud of them both. Amen. So I left my form down there. I'm sorry. Thank you, Brett. Let me just say great congratulations to a few people first. Daniel Bass. Amen. David Bonilla, Felicia Bonilla, Crystal Quintana, Pastor Henry's wife, and Catherine Senna all graduated internship and got their minister's degrees. And they are now reverends and ministers in this house. Pastor Ben Cortez is now pastor of worship in San Jose. We have a number of our Spanish pastors that I'm going to be listing in the Spanish service coming up right after you hear. But I also want to say that Stevie, where are you at, Stevie? He's in the sound booth. Stevie, our worship leader, is now our pastor of worship. Amen. He and Ashley are doing a great job. We're so proud of them. Chris, Minister Chris, is now Pastor Chris. Congratulations, Pastor Chris. Amen. And Manuel, you've seen him lead our choir once a month. He is now the pastor, co-pastor with me in CWC San Jose, CWC Life San Jose. So we love you, Manuel. We're proud of you. Thank you. He's still going to be leading the choir here once a month, though, right? Once a month he's coming back. He's been coming from San Jose ever since COVID started. And he would commute from San Jose every single week. But now he's going to be helping me in the San Jose church there. So we're really proud of that. So, amen. So great congratulations to all of our ministers and those who became ordained ministers and also ordained pastors. Congratulations to all of you. Amen. God bless you all this morning. Thank you for coming. And we're so honored that you chose our church to worship. First-time visitors can meet over in the visitor sign there. We have a gift card for you we'd love to give you so you can meet Pastor Kerry and Pastor Nicole over at the visitor sign. COVID exemption form, vaccine exemption forms are in the back of the church, and you can grab one there as well. God bless you.